Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to In Real Life with Evan Halperin. Today, on July 29th, 2024, President Biden, his briefing room, statements and releases, there was a press brief released about his plan to limit the Supreme Court and overturn some of their recent decisions. It's all crap. It's all bullshit. None of it will happen. None of it can constitutionally happen, but I'm going to go through it anyways, because it is quite interesting. To follow along with me, I'm going to read the entire release. You can find it on the whitehouse.gov website. It's titled Fact Sheet. President Biden announces bold plan to reform the Supreme Court and ensure no president is above the law. I'm going to read through it. It's fairly short. Go through line by line and kind of just talk about what's wrong with it and why it is as every bit inept as the entire Biden administration. It says, from his first day in office and every day since then, President Biden has taken action to strengthen American democracy and protect the rule of law. Except for his son, Hunter Biden, who has committed multiple crimes and is now one of his political advisors, and except for the admitted illegal bribe that happened with Ukraine, where he was the CEO of a company and he was being looked into, his son, this is his, Hunter Biden, and President Biden, then Vice President, withheld aid or withheld money. Unless whoever was looking into him, I believe it was the Attorney General of Ukraine or whatever the equal position is, stopped and was fired. And this is self-admitted by President Biden. He got the guy fired and then gave money to Ukraine. So that's really not the rule of law. Some might say that's actually a crime. Some might say that's the opposite of the rule of law. Not a good start. It goes on, in recent years, the Supreme Court has overturned long-established legal precedents protecting fundamental rights. Yes, but also no. So the Supreme Court has overturned some legal precedents, Roe v. Wade, Chevron, a couple others. However, none of those were protecting fundamental rights. A right is something God-given. And nothing that the Supreme Court can do can take away any type of fundamental rights, because they're not given by the Supreme Court, they're not given by the government, they're given by God. That is the whole idea. And if you actually care to read any of the decisions that the Supreme Court has given out, they're actually all extremely well thought out, and they fit in the Constitution, and they interpret the Constitution the way it's meant to be interpreted. There's nothing long-sighted or silly about these Supreme Court decisions. They're all normal. They just go against what the Democrats want, which makes sense because most of what they want is constitutionally not normal. It says, this court has gutted civil rights protections, taken away a woman's right to choose, and now granted presidents broad immunity for prosecution for crimes they commit in office. So, no. Again, you can't gut civil rights protections. They're not given by the court, and they're not given by the government. They're given by God. And, again, back to the details that we were talking about. You ever ask a follow-up question to a Democrat? How? What are you talking about? They will never be able to give you any details that make logical sense and have continuity. It's the same thing in this case here. Anybody you ask will not be able to explain how the Supreme Court has gutted any civil rights protections. It's because it didn't happen. They've taken away a woman's right to choose. This is what we talked about with, they're very good at one-liners, but again, if you dig a little bit deeper, doesn't make any sense. There's multiple choices. You can choose contraception. Can choose adoption, can choose to keep the child, just can't choose to kill it. You have multiple choices over murder, whether fortunately or unfortunately for that mother, is not one of them. You chose to have sex, and the chance that it creates a child, you don't get to just kill the child. That's unfortunately not how that works. And now granted presidents broad immunity from prosecutions for crimes they commit in office, that just lacks context. It only grants immunity for prosecutions for crimes they commit in office if they're acting as the president, within their constitutional powers vested to them. They can't go and, well, for instance, can't go order the assassination of somebody. That's murder. That's not a president's, in the president's purview. It's not a presidential power. They can't walk into a Walmart and steal a TV and walk out. That's also not in the president's power. And this word broad immunity, what that's meant is it's meant to make the unintelligent or unknowledgeable think, oh, broad, he has immunity from everything. No, what that just means is that the Supreme Court just said, basically, presidents have immunity from prosecution for crimes they commit in office while acting as the president. But we're not going to go down into detail about what the president's powers are or not. We're letting the lower courts do that. So the broad immunity is they're just saying they have some sort of immunity. We have yet to figure out what it is because it hasn't come before us. That's not a question, constitutional question that was asked of us to decide, and so we're not deciding it. So then the next paragraph. At the same time, recent ethics scandals involving some justices have caused the public to question the fairness and independence that are essential for the court to faithfully carry out its mission to deliver justice for all Americans. That's sort of true. The scandals were really spun by the media, and we'll get into that later because that's like the third thing. That's the third of three things that President Biden reforms cover. So he says, President Biden believes that no one, neither the president nor the Supreme Court, is above the law. This is obviously untrue if you look at the Biden family and its history of committing crimes. In the face of this crisis of confidence in America's democratic institutions, President Biden is calling for three bold reforms to restore trust and accountability. Very good. So, let's go through what these three bold reforms are. So, number one, no immunity for crimes a former president committed in office. So already, there's a lack of context there. And it doesn't include that because they're already, so if a former president commits crimes in office outside of the political purview of the president, outside of the powers granted to the president through the articles of the Constitution, they don't have immunity. What they do have immunity for is when they commit crimes acting as the president with the powers granted to the president. So, he actually wants to, hold on, I'll read. President Biden shares the founder's belief that the president's power is limited, not absolute. Which, yes, that's also what the Supreme Court said, but whatever. And must ultimately reside with the people. That doesn't make any sense, because the president's power resides in the Constitution for the president, not with the people. Those two things can't be true at the same time. So even his press releases are written like whoever writes them has dementia or just doesn't understand English, doesn't understand conflict of two things can't reside with the same conflicting things. He's calling for a constitutional amendment that makes clear no president is above the law or immune from prosecution for crimes committed while in office, which is already true. Except in the cases that the crimes committed were under the purview of the president with the powers given to them by the Constitution. But he's calling for a constitutional amendment. And the reason why he's doing this is because he knows it's impossible and it will not happen. And he knows there's zero chance. There is a 0% chance that this amendment gets passed. Now, why? Because it's extremely hard to make constitutional amendments. It's almost impossible. The way to do it is laid out in Article 5 of the Constitution, which you either need two-thirds of both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House, and they can vote to propose an amendment, or two-thirds of the state legislatures can request that Congress call a national convention to propose amendments, and then Congress has to do that, or three-fourths of state legislatures must approve the amendment, or three-fourths of the ratifying conventions of Congress in the states must approve it. So you either need 66% of both houses of Congress, or 75% of the state legislatures. That is an impossible number, quite frankly, to reach. Especially now, with the division between political parties, where there are some Republicans that cross the aisle to vote on things from time to time. Generally, the Democrats don't cross the aisle. And that's actually not an indictment against Democrats. They stick together much better than Republicans do. And they're much stronger and more united than Republicans are generally. It's actually almost kind of a compliment to them. However, not enough Republicans will ever cross the line to get to that 66% number. So Biden's first reform, he knows that he's putting out, is impossible. And he knows it won't get passed, which is part of the reason he's putting it out in this way. But it says the No One Is Above the Law Amendment, which is ridiculous and stupid and, that's just really dumb. It's a great tagline, but it doesn't actually mean anything. We'll state that the Constitution does not confer any immunity from federal criminal indictment, trial, conviction, or sentencing by virtue of previously serving president. So even if that amendment is passed, it doesn't do anything because the Supreme Court already ruled on this and basically agrees, except in the cases that the president was acting as the president. So the first one, pretty dumb. The second one, second reform, term limits for Supreme Court justices. Congress approved term limits for the presidency over 75 years ago, which is true, and President Biden believes they should do the same for the Supreme Court. Yeah, that's great, except the Supreme Court is the president is a political job, and the Supreme Court is supposed to be protected from politics. That's the entire reason that there are no term limits. The United States is the only major constitutional democracy that gives lifetime seats to its high court justices. And this is one of the reasons why the United States has the best system, right? The founding fathers, they looked at where they came from. They looked at Britain, the UK. And they said, no, that's not a good way of doing things. Parliament's bad. The king is bad. A lot of what they have is bad. They also looked at other countries, and they said, no, those are bad. Bad systems. Or imperfect systems. And so they tried to make their own. And the reason they did it, the way they did it, is so that the Supreme Court justices were protected from politics, so that they can actually rule on the Constitution as it's supposed to be. The Constitution, well, currently the Constitution is technically a political document because you have Democrats that don't want to follow it and leftists that don't want to follow it. And you have some on the right. There's a lot less of it, though. But the Constitution is technically not a political document. It is an unbiased, it has no politics. It is what it is. Now, you have Democrats that disagree with it and turn it into a political document, but in its creation, it was not a political document. So the argument from the Biden administration is that term limits would help ensure that the court's membership changes with some regularity, which is exactly the opposite of what the founders wanted. And again, they wanted it for the reason that they didn't want Supreme Court justices to rule based on who was in office at the time because they were scared that they were going to be replaced. The second thing that term limits would help ensure is that it would make timing for court nominations more predictable and less arbitrary, which in no way actually makes anything better. There's no reason for court nominations to be predictable or unpredictable or arbitrary or unarbitrary. They happen when they happen, which is arbitrary. There is some prediction of when that can happen based on the ages and the political people in power. For instance, Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't retire and she died instead. That was somewhat predictable, right? She was getting older. But there's no reason for Supreme Court nominations to be predictable or unpredictable or arbitrary or unarbitrary. They are when they are. And that really doesn't matter. And the third thing that they think term limits would do would reduce the chance that any single presidency imposes undue influence for generations to come. So that's great, except for the fact that that would just mean that any single president can impose undue influence for the entirety of their presidency. That's all that means. Instead of it balancing out over time, it just flips back and forth to a radical right Supreme Court, radical left Supreme Court, radical right Supreme Court, radical left Supreme Court. President Biden supports a system in which the president would appoint a justice every 2 years to spend 18 years in active service on the Supreme Court. There's so many different problems with that. One of them is if you get two back-to-back Democrat presidents that serve 2 terms, the entire Supreme Court is now Democrat. The same thing with the Republicans. That is a catastrophe. That is completely the opposite of what was supposed to happen. That is tyrannical. That is undemocratic. That is unconstitutional republic. That's un-everything that we know to be American. On top of that, the 18 years in active service on the Supreme Court, that's a completely actually arbitrary timeline. In reality, as of June 2022, the average number of years that justices have served is a little over 16. So the 18 years thing is just arbitrary because, in reality, if you are knowledgeable, that's actually longer than most Supreme Court justices spend on the Supreme Court, anyways. On top of that, specifically in the Constitution, Article 3, Section 1 of the Constitution says the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both of the Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall, at stated times, receive for their services a compensation, which they get paid, which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. You can't take away money from them while they're in office. So, specifically, the framers did this, right? During the Constitutional Convention, there were a bunch that happened, and they argued at length about every single word, every single comma, every single period in the Constitution. And specifically, they said the judges shall hold their offices during good behavior, which to them meant unless the judges are impeached and removed, they hold their office. That's specifically what the founders want. So as you see, you have the left here, who now, for the two out of the three reforms, is at war with the Constitution, is at war with what America was founded on. On top of that, Hamilton, so the Federalist Papers, written by Hamilton, John Jay, and one other founding father whose name for some reason escapes me right now, but so Federalist number 78, which was written by Hamilton, discusses the Supreme Court and basically the judicial branch. And in reality, Hamilton says that he predicted, but he said probably, the judicial branch will be the least dangerous because of the fact that it's a reactionary branch, not a actionary branch. And so we can see this continuing to be true, right? The Supreme Court is still the least dangerous branch because it reacts, and yet it's really the only branch that is trying to, that is coming under attack and trying to be changed right now. And that is because people dislike its reactions. So, this is what a dictator will do, this is what a tyrannical government will do, if it dislikes decisions, and it's not based on any type of constitutionality, right? You'll notice, when the left attacks Supreme Court decisions, it never attacks the constitutionality of the decisions. It just says, we don't like it, we disagree. But it will never drill deep down into the purpose of the decision. This is a real problem. This is a real problem. So you have a party that tries to follow the Constitution to the best of its ability, and you have a party that just wants to destroy the Constitution. Which one is more American? You can decide. And the third reform, abiding code of conduct for the Supreme Court. President Biden believes that Congress should pass binding, enforceable conduct and ethics rules that require judges to disclose gifts, refrain from public political activity. So the disclosing of gifts is okay, because technically judges aren't private citizens. I actually would not be opposed to a rule that required judges to disclose gifts. Now, what would come of that is absolutely nothing, but it would be good just to know who they're getting money from. The second that he offers Biden, this is, refrain from public political activity. No, that's completely unconstitutional. Judges are still technically private citizens, and no, they get to do whatever they want publicly, politically, as they choose, because that is their First Amendment right. They have rights, the same as everybody else. Why would Biden try to gut the Supreme Court justice's civil rights? Is that not what he accused the Supreme Court of doing? Is Biden a hypocrite? Well, yes, obviously he is. He's also an idiot. And he knows this, and yet he doesn't care. And recuse themselves from cases in which they or their spouses have financial or other conflicts of interest. That sounds a lot like Juan Merchan in New York. That sounds a lot like he should have recused himself from the Trump trial. Right? The trial in which Donald Trump was sentenced to 34 acts of fraud. Well, Judge Juan Merchan, donated to a Democratic group, Act Blue, and another Democratic group, Progressive Turnout Project, and another Democratic group, Stop Republicans. So that's three separate groups that he donated to. That sounds a lot like a financial conflict of interest. Not only that, but his daughter works at a firm known for representing Democratic politicians, and his wife allegedly works with Letitia James, who is a well-known Democrat figure. That sounds a lot like a conflict of interest. Now, if you ask Biden about this, obviously Juan Mertrand should not have stepped down. Well, why would he? It's just the Republicans that should step down if they have some sort of financial or other conflict of interest. Now, the main thing that he would be referring to in this case would be the January 6th, the claim that Judge Thomas's wife was there. And again, she was. She admitted it. However, she also, there is evidence that she left before Donald Trump ever took the stage. She was there at the rally, and then she kind of went bye-bye. Now, whether that was specifically to avoid a conflict of interest or not, we'll probably never know. And in reality, it doesn't matter, because it's really not a conflict of interest. He's not judging on his wife being at January 6th. He's judging on other people being at January 6th. It continues, it ends. Supreme Court justices should not be exempt from the enforceable code of conduct that applies to every other federal judge. That's correct, they shouldn't be, and they're not. So, he struck out, right? He had three pitches, no immunity for crimes, strike one. Term limits for Supreme Court justices, strike two. Binding code of conduct for the Supreme Court, winds up. The pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. You're out. He's continuing to be ineffective. He's continuing to be an idiot. He's just continuing to be himself. So it ends. A little blurb at the end. President Biden and Vice President Harris look forward to working with Congress and empowering the American people to prevent the abuse of presidential power, which there's currently no abuse of presidential power going on, I'm sure. I'm sure Biden is completely well within his rights to do everything he's doing. Restore faith in the Supreme Court. Constitutionally, there is faith in the Supreme Court. The only faith that I don't have really currently is with Ketanji Brown Jackson, who for some reason refuses to take her job seriously, extremely more so than the other Democratic judges. The other Democratic judges on occasion will refuse to take their job seriously. However, it seems that every decision Ketanji Brown Jackson puts out is unserious. Like, every single one. That's the only person I don't have faith in the Supreme Court. The other two Democrat judges currently, they're fine. I mean, they're Democrats, so they're misguided and they're incorrect in their policies. However, it does seem that at times they do try to understand the Constitution and the questions, at least, that they ask during the mediating and the argument period are at least reasonable and normal. Ketanji Brown Jackson, she just, I don't like her at all. And it's not because she's black, it's because she doesn't take her job seriously. I'm not a racist, right? I like Judge Thomas because he takes his job seriously. Ketanji Brown Jackson just doesn't. And strengthen the guardrails of democracy. Well, that doesn't mean anything. That's a great tagline. Again, we don't have a democracy. Whatever. President Biden thanks the Presidential Commission of the Supreme Court on the Supreme Court of the United States for its insightful analysis. Ooh, sorry. Let me restart that sentence. President Biden thanks the Presidential Commission on the Supreme Court of the United States for its insightful analysis of Supreme Court reform proposals. That just means that none of this was actually Biden's idea. It was all given to him by the Presidential Commission. The administration will continue its work to ensure that no one is above the law, and in America, the people rule. The administration will continue its work to ensure that no one in the Biden administration, except for the Biden administration, is above the law, and in America, the people rule. That's a better last sentence. That's truthful. It's honest. And it's the end, both of President Biden's press brief and of this episode of In Real Life with Evan Halperin. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Have a good rest of your day.